I welcome in everybody to the iPhone users group.
You lost your key, Cheryl.
I wonder what's going on with that. I've had trouble all day with access, internet, and all this stuff. VIP today is October 23rd, 2024, and the year is moving on. All right, so I got this email, and I think several of us got it from David Goldfield a few weeks ago, talking about speech. Oh boy, did I? Oh, jeez. All right, hang on.
You got caught, Cheryl.
I don't remember doing that.
Press F5 and change your name.
You probably didn't change it after you were at out of sight for that class, maybe.
No, let me do it.
Lost your key.
Good afternoon, Hank.
Hey, Hank, I was just... Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I was talking about Speech Central. It is an app that you can download, and if you download other apps that using VoiceOver, they're free. They're advanced features in that app that you would normally pay for will be given to you free if VoiceOver is detected on your phone. So is anybody familiar with that?
This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'm going to try to get this email to read this.
Because their access to reading is this initiative, get full access to the app's advanced reading features at no extra cost. Get full access to the app's advanced reading features at no extra cost. This initiative was born from a series of updates that allowed the app to behave differently when screen readers like VoiceOver or TalkBack are activated. Over time, the realization came that this adjustment shouldn't be limited to the layout or interface, but could also apply to in-app purchases. The initial thought was to offer discounts, but the decision was made to take a bigger step and make the paid features completely free for screen reader users. Why this matters for blind and visually impaired users, heading level 2. The reasoning behind this decision is straightforward but profound. Blind people are a special category of users because their access to reading is fully reliant on accessible technologies. While individuals with other disabilities may face significant challenges when reading, these challenges are rarely as absolute as for the blind. In making its premium features free, Speech Central aims to bridge this critical gap. Automated accessibility without red tape, heading level 2. Speech Central's system for unlocking free in-app purchases is automated, based on whether VoiceOver or TalkBack is enabled on your device. This ensures that the process is seamless for the user, without requiring certifications or manual verification. However, this automation has two important implications. Bullet, list start. First, if you don't use VoiceOver or TalkBack, even if you qualify as a blind person, e.g., a legally blind individual, you won't be able to access the free features. It's crucial to have these accessibility tools enabled on your device for the benefits to activate automatically. Bullet. Second, this policy only applies to in-app purchases. Features that require upfront payment, such as apps on Windows or Mac, cannot execute code prior to purchase, so this offer does not extend to those platforms. Why other developers haven't followed heading level 2, despite the clear benefits of this approach, Speech Central remains one of the few, if not the only, apps that offers such free access to paid features for blind and visually impaired users. The app's developer has tried to encourage other app creators to adopt similar policies, but no other developers have followed suit thus far. Download Speech Central on iOS and Android, heading level 2. If you're a blind or visually impaired user who relies on VoiceOver or TalkBack, Speech Central offers a powerful, accessible way to enjoy reading with full access to all of its features, completely free of charge. By downloading Speech Central, you are not only gaining access to one of the most robust, free reading apps for blind people, but you're also supporting a forward-thinking approach to accessibility that other developers will hopefully follow in the future. https://speechcentral.com
Very neat.
So, do you know basically what apps that would apply to? Would it be like some of those travel apps that you have to pay for or things like that?
You know, I think the developers have to be on board with it, but this is a cutting edge developer that is trying to encourage other developers to get on board with it.
If you could forward me that email there, Spence, that'd be great. Sounds like certain apps, because I said something about in-app purchases and reading features that are normally paid for, thus the in-app purchases. I don't think you'll, some of these apps you will get for free, but if there's a feature that we rely on in that app, that part won't be charged to us. I'm thinking maybe like Voice Dream Reader we might get for free or something like that. I can't think of any others at the moment.
Cheryl, I'd like to have a copy of that email too.
Why, Cheryl, why don't you just send it out on the iPhone users list? That'd get it to most everybody.
Parker, you ate my words.
Sorry.
Did you guys get that one that I sent this morning?
Yes.
Yay! Okay, I'll send it there.
Is this like the equivalent to those overlay things that you have on a PC that are supposed to make websites more accessible? I mean, does it say you're on an app, and how does it know? I mean, does it kick in and try to make that app more accessible, or do you go to the Speech Central app and then ask for what you want? It's kind of interesting to see how this would work.
Yeah, there's an app, for instance, that I could utilize. I actually get paid for doing some things around the house here for my roommate. And there's an app called Caregiver that you're supposed to submit your time and stuff on. Well, thank goodness, since I'm an in-home resident assistant, I can still send PDFs of my timesheets, but they really want you to migrate to this app. And so far, the app has not been accessible at all.
My guess, it would be automatic. You might need to have the app open, but I don't think you have to go to the app to use it on what app you want to use. That's what it sounds like to me. And I think it will work. Well, you said you're trying to get away from PDF with PDFs and Word. And I read something online about it, but I'm not sure if it's the same app or not, because the one I read said nothing about getting anything free from apps on the description, but might not just have been there, or it was an old article.
Was that from the AppleVis website, Cheryl?
I thought it was a David Goldfield one. I just sent it out.
Well, I guess the thing we'll have to do is to download it and try it and give a report next month. I mean, in 2 weeks.
It almost sounded like, as I was listening to it that time, it almost sounded like it was an app that had a robust reading feature built into it. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And I don't know if that just has to do with like reading text, or I'd like to see them come out with something that would make, and I don't even know if there's a way to do it, but the thing with this other app that I was describing is, of course, it has movable parts, if that makes sense, because you have to set a time clock to going, and then you also have to do a signature at the end, you know, when I finish my time, she's supposed to do a signature. And I don't know if they'll ever get that type of thing accessible or not, because I would imagine there'd be a pretty good roadblock there.
What does that app do?
It's basically like these different apps where people work at, I'm sure like Uber probably has something similar, and all these different people that subcontract, you know, with all these different companies, they have like a time clock type app where they clock in and clock out and all that kind of stuff. And that's what this app is for.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I've heard of Caregiver. If it's the same one, the commercial I heard basically spends of like an elderly person, you know, sometimes they have nurses and stuff. They're now, some of these companies will allow a family member to come in and help you with, say, whatever, eating, showers, house cleaning, and to get the app and you submit your time and you get paid right on the spot. And your, I guess your insurance pays for it or something like that. So
that's kind of cool. You say it's not really accessible more?
No, it's not. I mean, not. And I actually put it through its paces with an Apple accessibility specialist who was able to look over the thing and stuff like that. And that person told me at that point that it just was not accessible. So, and I've been trying to lobby to make it that way. And the people in the company that has the app won't let me talk to their IT people or anything. So I've been kind of very slowly being a squeaky wheel.
Well, I guess they don't consider blind people can be caregivers. Really?
Yeah, really?
You're probably right on their thinking.
Don't you just love sighted people for that?
Yeah, either that or, you know, maybe they do say they can, but, you know, we're going to change our whole app for one person, or that's the way some of them are.
Is it only an app, Mark, or can you do it from your computer or not?
That's a good question. And, yeah, can you do it from your computer? I'm wondering if you could do it that way.
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. I have a friend who does a spreadsheet for me. I send her my hours every night for that day, and she gathers them up in a spreadsheet and sends me the PDF. And then I submit the PDF to the company. So that's the way I'm doing it right now. I had originally talked to a person who told me I couldn't do that. And I said, well, that's discrimination. I said, I've already been okay to be hired by the company. I said, you've got to figure out a way. And then she said, oh, well, if you're an in-home worker, then you can do it that way. You can submit the PDF. But if I wouldn't have been, I couldn't.
She backpedaled real quick, didn't she? But yeah, what happened to all these laws that said by such and such a date, all apps or websites need to have accessibility features built in? What happened to that?
Well, I truly believe, because I've also been working with the Lions International website, which is really ironic because the Lions are supposed to help the blind, but their IT person admitted that their website is not screen reader accessible. They have all these other accessibility things, like for people that have to have larger print and people that are dyslexic and this and that, but they don't have screen reader accessibility built in. And I think they just don't know how to do it. I really do.
I think that's a big part. They don't know how to do it or whatever. I think I have a couple websites in my favorite somewhere. That was a long time ago. The problem is, I think the laws are there. They're just, one, not enforced, and two, you have to advocate hard for it. Like, you got to go, like, either get a lawyer or go through NFB to, you know, basically, you got to fight these guys to tell them to do it. So the laws are supposed to be there, but unless we advocate or report them, you know, it's not like they have a blind police that goes around to all the websites saying, hey, you're, you know, like the health department for restaurants. They go in and inspect. We don't have that.
I know ACB has been working on that. We've had resolutions. I think they're assembling, if they haven't already, a team of people that want to know about that kind of stuff and work with companies. But they do realize that it is, no matter what laws you got, it's still a problem.
Oh, I just went through a whole big thing with my work, trying to. For the last month that I've been working with this soft phone, I guess you could say, everybody that I talk to on the phone, they can hear my jaws. And I'm like, this is not good. Because I'm like, what is that? Who's that talking? Is there somebody speaking Spanish? What is that? Are you on a walkie-talkie? I mean, I've gotten all kinds of comments, and I just kind of act like I don't hear anything. It's a bit like working in your underwear. You know, you feel very exposed. So today, I worked with my tech guy, and we, hopefully this works, but we got a different headset that's a USB headset, and he said he couldn't hear my jaws anymore, so we shall see.
What is the process of reading a PDF file on your phone? You know, just like you have Adobe Acrobat for your computer. I know it seems like I got an attachment, a PDF attachment, and tried to open it, and it didn't. And I thought, is there an app that I should have that I don't have, just like you have Adobe, to allow you to read PDFs on your phone?
So when you double tap on the PDF, there's a share button, and you hit the share button, and I used to send all my PDFs to KNFB Reader or First Step Reader or whatever it's called now, and it would read it. But now that doesn't seem to work. So I was trying to read a PDF the other day, and I was having trouble with it as well. So I don't know if there is where you can go to the App Store and actually purchase a PDF reader or not.
They must have broken something, because at one time, PDFs were actually easier for me to read on the phone. I remember I was on a worship team, and they sent me some lyric sheets in PDF form. And I couldn't open them on the computer, or at least they didn't read on the computer. They just read blank. But when I actually clicked on them, they opened up on the phone, and I could read all of the characters just fine. So they must have broken something or something.
I don't know how you do it, but I just did a quick ask to the A lady, how do you read PDFs on the iPhone? And she said to use the iBooks app. And Spence, maybe sharing it if you have, although that's a paid. Maybe you get that one for free with the speech connection. VoiceStream Reader. I'm trying to think what else. Notes. Maybe share it with Notes, and maybe then you can read it.
Yeah, I can try that. I tried to envision it, and I tried to recognize with something. Sullivan Plus, and neither one of those work.
I also have an app, I've had it for years, on my iPhone called RTF Reader, and I don't know if that's what I used.
What do you use that app for?
Well, it's supposed to be kind of a word processor thing where you can actually write documents in it, kind of like the WordPad in Windows. But I thought I had opened up PDFs with it. But like I said, it's been probably 5 years since I've had the need to. So I can't remember exactly what I did.
Yeah, I think RTF, Rich Text Files, probably what it stands for. It's like Word and stuff. Like Notepad is very simplified, where Word, you can do all kinds of fonts and changes and charts and comments and all that stuff. That's what I believe what it means.
Yeah, I thought at one time I was able to do it. Might have been a long time ago. But they have broken stuff. They still have not fixed, I think, what I was talking about a few weeks back about reading. You can read character by character and sometimes word by word, but not line by line. They still have not fixed that. And I'll have to play around with the PDF thing, but because I thought a long time ago I was able to do it.
Has anybody tried the Walmart app since I sent that thing out about how you can access the rest of the things in the search feature?
I read that, but I don't shop using the app. I kind of cheat and use Ira.
Well, I just tried it again because I just did a Walmart order for tomorrow, and there were a couple of new things that I didn't have in my items list that I searched for, and I actually found what I wanted, and I did exactly what I said, where you do the three-finger swipe up, and it takes you to the next page, and then you can see the item. It's almost like it is big enough, that it shows up big enough or something, that it takes up the whole page so you can't see any more than one. I'm really not sure. Would be interesting to know how it shows up visually.
Well, I know people have talked about the fact that in a lot of these things with groceries or Grubhub or Uber Eats and that, and it might be because the screen, you know, it's a big screen, that you're not seeing all the choices. And so you do have to do a lot of scrolling, I guess, which can be very frustrating, say, with, you know, if you just do a search for some general kind of thing in the grocery store and you want to hear the different brands and different, you know, things, and it doesn't show you that, you know. So there's DoorDash wanting me to get food. Yeah, that you don't see it all. You don't see all the items. You got to keep, you know, you got to keep scrolling up, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it used to just scroll by itself. I mean, when you would, you know, flick down, it would just automatically scroll to the next item. And they're right. It doesn't do that anymore. You have to manually do it. And I don't know why that is, but that's the only way I've found to actually access the rest of the list and in the search items.
Yeah, when I did Walmart for groceries the last time a few weeks ago, I did it through Instacart. And so it was their app I was using, and that worked very well. But I didn't go on the Walmart site itself.
I'm just wondering if I ever did get a Walmart delivery, if that would be the way to go, because boy, I'll tell you, the Walmart delivery system here in Madison is not great at all.
Seems like when you set up the app, you should be able to say, you know, right in there, because when I do it, it says leave at the front door, and it always sends me a text that they're there. So I know it's like, I get a text that says, hey, run, you know, your groceries are arriving. Make sure you get all the cold stuff in.
Well, the last time we had a delivery, this was really stupid. They put everything right in front of the door, so you couldn't open the door. Luckily, our neighbor from across the street saw it happening, and she came over and she said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, just move everything away from the door, please, and put it inside for us so that we can get the door open.
I've had that to happen to me as well, and I don't remember if it was Walmart. I think it was actually Amazon Fresh, and they put it right in front of my door. And I thought I was going to have to go out the other door and come around and move the things.
That's so crazy. There's no common sense running around in these people that deliver. Well, you know, consider the source. But when I know that they're about to arrive, I run out and I lock this storm door open. So they can't do that.
Well, we don't have a storm door. We just have downstairs in the hallway. We just have a big wooden door that... But I had asked them to bring it around back, and so I thought that's what they were going to do, and hear the doorbell rings. By the time we get through the house, down the stairs, and over there, they're gone already.
Here's another thing that you might want to consider. If you know they're en route, I have a two-wheel or four, it's actually got four wheels on a shopping cart that collapses, and I'll take it down and I'll say, put everything in here, and then I can just kind of drag it up the steps.
Yeah, Mar, did they not give you a notification that they're on their way?
Yeah, they said they were on their way.
Call from Meritor.
And they also have a, I lost my train of thought because the phone rang. I'm going to unkey until I can get my thought back. They said they were there, but I thought they were going to follow my instructions and go to the back door, so that's where I was. I told them I was going to be standing right out there. Oh, yeah, and then they also have this thing where you can call the driver. It's in the app, but when you call the number, it says, this number has been disconnected.
I tried calling the Uber drivers, and you can't get a hold of them either. It's like, well, what is that for? Used to, you can, you know, I had a little thing where you call the driver, you could call them, let them know, so, okay, we're right out front, we have canes or whatever, you know, how to look for them, but now you can't even reach them.
Well, I've had problems like that with Uber, because they send me the phone number, but I can't remember that many numbers. So I have asked them, told them that I couldn't do that. I said, can the driver call me? And so in some instances, the driver has called me. They're always at the wrong place because they use their GPS and the GPS gives them wrong directions in our complex. So anyway, they call me and they just stay on the line until they pull right up in front and see me.
I guess you're supposed to be able to let them know that you have a visual impairment now, or that, you know, something, that you would need extra help or whatever. I think, Parker, you sent an article out about that.
Yeah, I tell them. I said, I am blind, so I'm not going to see you. You're going to have to see me. And that has worked in some instances.
Well, I know they had the big rally last week at the Uber and Lyft headquarters in San Francisco. And ACB was represented, NFB was represented, many disability organizations were represented there. And yeah, they have set up a feature in the app to identify yourself as blind. Well, one of the big problems, because they've been passing people up that are blind with guide dogs and even people with canes, that if you're identifying yourself as blind, now they can really say, I don't want to take that person. So it's kind of a you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't sort of situation by identifying.
Yeah, I've had them drop me when I've told them that I'm blind.
I have another question, and I have to research this, I guess, but I use the MyChart system for the MyChart app for my medical records, and I was able to use it both with my computer and with the app. Well, there was one day that I couldn't, it said there was a problem with me logging in with my app. So I went on my computer to do what I wanted to do. And it gave me an authentication code to identify myself and all that, like it's supposed to do. And I was able to do what I wanted. Well, the next time I tried to go in with my app, it keeps saying there's a problem with your password. There's a problem with your password, and there isn't a problem with it because I do it on my computer. So are we finding that places, is that a security feature that if you're using more than one device, they don't like it?
Well, I've seen that happen. And I don't know why it would, you know, it didn't seem like it should trigger any difference, but evidently it does, because I've had the same thing happen to me, Chrisanne.
I know a lot of times if you do log in to a certain site on a different device, you'll get an email that said, "We noticed you logged in to this account on a different device. If this is not you, go to this website." So, but I don't know otherwise why you would have a problem.
Hank, you were locked up. You were keyed up, but we didn't hear you. So if you had any wonderful words of wisdom, let us have them. You still had no audio, Hank.
What'd you do, Hank?
Do you have a mute button on your microphone or something?
That's what it was. I was adjusting my... It's sensitive, so I was adjusting my headset, and I think I had it. No, I was just saying that I don't understand why, you know, wouldn't let you. I know some sites, they only want you to be logged into one... you know, like say your computer or your phone at a time, but something like my chart should be, you know, just with two-factor authentication if it wants to make sure it's you. Plus, you know, you got your fingerprint or face ID. I don't understand why it would not let you do the phone. You might need to contact tech support.
Yeah, and the one thing that it was doing was when I went to put in my password, and then I went to the login button, which is normally a button, very accessible. It said login dimmed, like I had already pressed it, and I hadn't. And so then I thought, well, okay, is it leaving me logged in? But that's not it, because I don't get the menu choices and the things that identify it as me, you know, in my records and all of that. So, yeah, they do have a tech support thing, and I'm going to call and find out, because there are times when sometimes you do it with your computer and sometimes you can do it with your phone.
Yeah, dim would mean already logged in, or to log in and not all the fields. Like if you just put in your username and not the password, login will be dimmed. I don't know if there's anything else. So maybe explore the page where that dimmed button is and see if there's something blank or missing, or maybe delete the password, put it back in. I don't know. Make sure the username is spelled correctly.
Yeah, I did all that. So, no, I'm going to have to call their tech support people. And maybe there even was an email. That's a good thought. There might have been an email that's in a junk folder or something like that, since I don't normally get email from them. So there's a lot of different things. Okay.
One thing I have noticed, too, is sometimes if you try to log in, I have trouble seeing, especially on the phone, if I've gotten all my characters out of there. That's one thing I like about the Walmart site is on their search feature, they have a, hey, Terry, that they have a clear text option so that you can clear your whole field out and start over. And I wish more sites had that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Jerry, welcome in.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Bordinary.
So I signed up with Ira for this AI thing. And I was just, I found that PDF attachment, so I thought, well, let's see if AI on Ira will read it. Well, it just described the picture that was attached to the PDF. So it's like, well, that's not what I sent. I didn't think. So it's like, oh boy.
Have you tried it with Be My Eyes at all?
That is one of the options. I'll see if I can do it that way.
Because originally it might describe the picture, but then you can ask it, can you read the text? And maybe it would.
So I supposedly have the PDF open and I hit the share button, so it didn't take me to all the messages and all the different things. So I'm going to look for the Seeing AI.
And it does do that. I had that the other day trying to read package directions with Be My AI, where it really did. It described the picture on the package of the meal, and you did. You had to ask it, are there package directions in the picture? And then it came back and read the whole thing, you know, very, very well. It's like you'd think it would read text first, but not always.
It depends on the picture of what it thinks you might need, because depending on the package, you know, this is my assumption. It doesn't know if you want ingredients, or nutrition value or cooking instructions, like what you're looking for. So it might just tell you, you know, what the package is and, you know, what it contains, and then go from there.
Because it's getting to be more and more where barcodes, where you used to have your directions in a barcode, that's not happening. But if you can work it out with this, you know, Be My AI, that seems to be doing it pretty well.
Now, a lot of times for package directions, I will use the short text feature what's that Microsoft one? Is it Seeing AI? Yeah, Seeing AI. It's got that short text feature that whatever you wave in front of it, if it's got text on it, it'll detect it and read it. And a lot of times I can get directions that way.
You know, I had got some Murphy's oil soap to wash some furniture, and I wanted directions on how to dilute it and all that. Well, I tried Be My Eyes. I couldn't even get Be My Eyes to load. I don't even know what's going on with that. So I went into Seeing AI, and I tried the short text, but it wasn't giving me what I needed. So I flicked up to document, took a picture. Oh, my gosh. It read it like somebody was standing there looking at the bottle, reading it to me. It was amazing.
Huh. Another way to skin a cat.
And what did you use to take the picture?
Or scan a cat?
cat scan. Seeing AI, instead of the short text, I flicked up to document and took a picture, and it just read everything on that bottle.
Okay, good deal.
Real quick, I did it for the other class. I might as well throw it out there. Has everybody pretty good with a two-finger scrub, like when you can't find the back button or you don't want to go all the way up to the top looking for it?
Don't use it very often. I forget about it.
Well, go through it, Hank.
Well, real quick, we have talked about it over here before. It's just a back button, you know, like say, I'll just use Dice World as an example. You're in a game, you finish your round, but it doesn't go back to the main screen. You can go all the way up to the top left and then double tap on back, or you could do a two-finger scrub. I had described it as making an S or a Z with two fingers. The other day I was doing it and I realized I don't really do that. So I put my thumb and pointer together, and then I just put on the screen and just go left, right, real quick. You know, left, right, and it's the same thing as double tapping on the back button. I just figured I'd throw it out there because I find it easier than trying to do a Z. Some people don't know what a Z looks like, or an S. You know, you don't have to like go from the top of the screen to the bottom of the screen. You know, just about an inch or two. The swipes, you know, about the same width as your two fingers are wide, go left and right, then left and right. But, you know, like you're trying to erase something or trying to clean something off the screen.
Yeah, that's what I have always kind of thought of it as, is trying to wipe a speck of something off of your phone.
You know what? I was in an email, and a lot of times when I'm in an email, I have a hard time getting to that back button. So I just did that scrub thing. Next thing you know, I'm in the hallway. Thanks, Hank.
Yeah, I use it all the time because it's, I mean, even though I know where the back button is, it's not that hard to get up there. You know, you're swiping, like I use my thumb a lot. So my hand is, my right hand is towards the bottom of the phone. And then, you know, I got to reach up looking for that back button. And sometimes, yeah, I end up on a system tray or right below, you know, so you got to search for it. I mean, not too long, but it's just easier to just bring up my pointer, you know, left, right, boom, I'm back. And then I just keep swiping with my thumb.
It's interesting that some of you folks use your thumb. I never use my thumb to swipe. Never. I always use my finger, my index finger, if I'm going to do a one-finger swipe.
I find I have more control over my thumb, and I can do it with my finger, but it's not, I don't have as much control over it.
Left and right swipes, it's always my thumb. Sometimes I switch to my pointer finger if I'm going to swipe up and down, like after I do the rotor, which was my other topic of the day, was how's everybody with the rotor, like switching from this, you know, going through the rotor?
I can do it to the right, but not to the left. For some reason or other, if I try to rotate it to the left, I just can't get it to work. So I have to go all the way around and going clockwise rather than going counterclockwise to get it where I want it.
Oh, Hank has a tip for you.
I always put my fingers, if I want to go back, I put like 4 and maybe 11 or 10 and twist that way. I can twist it the other way if I want to go the other way. I'll let Hank tell his version.
Well, as far as the volume knob version, I start my pointer up high and my thumb low, and then like turning a knob so then my pointer ends up low and my thumb high on the screen, if that makes sense. And then to go counter, I just do the opposite. My pointer starts low, like where I finished turning right, and then I turn to, you know, counterclockwise, so then my thumb is down low and my pointer is up higher. That being said, this other trick works for some, not for others. Like if you're holding your phone with your left hand, which most people do, but you don't have to. The way somebody explained it to me, they curl their thumb around and put their thumb on the screen, like right in the middle of the side, left side of the screen. And then you take a finger on your other hand, and then you swipe straight up and straight down, like next to your thumb. It doesn't have to be right next to. So you're making your thumb the pivot point, and then you swipe up and down to turn the dial with the one finger swipe up and down. Some people find that easier. Doesn't work as good for me. I like the volume knob better, but, you know, again, I said it before, and somebody laughed at me, more than one way to skin a cat. Where we get that saying? I don't know.
Wow, that's interesting. I do it the first way, you know, with my thumb and my pointer finger kind of spaced apart a little bit, and then just twist, you know. And I do better going clockwise than I do counterclockwise. I don't know why, because I guess if I'm doing it with my right hand, your pointer fingers kind of go into the right anyway when you put it on the screen. But I seem to have to go. It always stays, the default on my rotor is handwriting. What does anybody ever do with handwriting? Is that a way to like write with your finger if you know how to print, or how is that used?
I'm not sure because I don't use it. I just find it slower to, because I have heard people put in their PIN number, like when they go to unlock their phone and they actually write it out on the screen. So you're not looking for the numbers. Or is it to detect handwriting if you're looking at something? I think it's more if you want to just write it in. But I don't use it. If you never use it, you know, you can remove stuff from your rotor so it's less cluttered.
I would suppose if there's like low vision people that actually know how to write, maybe that would work for them. But my writing is so bad. It would never work for me.
Well, it would be neat if there was an app that you could use that to use your finger to maybe figure out ways of improving your own signature or something like that, you know?
Well, there's a handwriting app. Whether or not it'll read it back to you, that's another question.
And I just had one more thing. It's not Apple or iPhone at all. Not yet. But is everybody good with the rotor ways of doing it?
The only issue I have with the rotor is adding and taking things out. When I add something to the rotor, I never know, did it take? Is it in there? And usually when I start to use the rotor, it's not in there. So it's like, how do you know it's actually in there once you select it?
When you're in the rotor settings, I have done it in a while. I think as you swipe right, like say handwriting, it'll say handwriting selected. Then you swipe to the right and it says, I think you understand what I mean. It's not how it words it, but relocate or shift up or down, meaning where you want it in the rotor. And then you swipe to the right and then maybe it'll say, you know, links. It'll say, if it's in the rotor, it says selected. If it's not in the rotor, it doesn't say, it just says links. And then to the right, you tap on that if you want to move it to the left or to the right. Like what order you want things to come up in your rotor.
That's a long process.
Yeah, it is. But once you get it set up the way you want it, you don't have to go in there. You just, you know, you go through and set it up. I've never had to. I'm pretty happy with the way it just naturally fell, the order, like minus characters, words, headings. If I'm on a website, then it'll say links and something, then volumed and speaking rate. And then if I go to the left, sometimes it's a description or something like that on, and never really used those, but.
I like to get the buttons added in there. I'll have to go and revisit that. Well, we're just about top of the hour. This went by like lightning. Very informative. Thank you all for coming to the VIP iPhone users group. We had a great time. We'll be here 2 weeks from today. Thank you.